I'm a park ranger and I dig danger. Dream of it night and day.
That's right, kiddies. The boss is in the house, the producer of Outdoor Journal Radio, a former park superintendent of Algonquin Park. And I'll bet you he's happy as he's not the superintendent in Algonquin Park this year because of the water conditions. Our good friend J.W. John Winters.
How are you guys?
Oh, lovely. Yourself?
I'm just excellent. I'm good all the time.
You're a little melted out today. What are you, chilling out this morning?
I'm relaxed. I'm very relaxed.
Oh, my
God. And as far as... the park and a delayed opening happens all the time.
You know what? It's true. It's not I'm making it sound like it's the first time. Every year seems like it's the first time. But, yeah, it's quite common, isn't it?
It's an adventure. I mean, a lot of the roads that go into the access points are what I'd call old-style gravel roads. They're upgraded slightly from a logging road. And they're subject to flooding and blowouts and all kinds of stuff. So no surprises when you have a late spring and mucky conditions.
One thing that we don't take into account is the this. I'm talking about the waters being so high in flooding conditions, is what it might have as an aftermath on spawning fish. So I want to talk to you about that in specific walleye. Sit tight, though, my friend. I have to take a quick break so we can all get paid around here. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
I'm a park ranger and I dig danger. Dream of it night and day.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. By the way, for those of you who are keeping score, he is hatless today.
Yeah.
So just mark that one down. He is hatless today.
Well, I have my hair
the coif done, too. The coif is all beautifully manicured like a, I don't know, golf green or something.
Oh, I like
looks
that
looks wonderful, yeah. and we all know what that means, but we won't talk about it right now because on the line with us, our illustrious producer, Jonathan Winters. Johnny, so first of all, before I get into the spawning thing, talk to me about black flies. Anything happening so far?
Yeah, we've got a crop of them up here, and they're just coming out. And you can actually see black fly larvae in the stream. I was down behind my house and took a look. There's a little creek down there. There's not a lot of black fly larvae, but there are some. And you can see them on logs and rocks, and they float like a little, almost like a little black worm about quarter to a half an inch long, and then they'll emerge from there.
Wow. Of course, we have a black fly.
We'll have lots of them, I'm sure.
We had a black fly expert last week on the program talking to us about what to expect this year with the high water conditions. So we're all holding our breath, as it were. No, some of us are smarter than that. We're not planning on being outside for a couple of weeks.
About May the 20th, after that, there's about 30 days when they're kind of nasty up here, off and on. But it's mainly, I'll call it a condition of weather. If the wind's up, temperature's below 15, and there's not a lot of humidity, then they don't bother you so much. But if the wind's down, the humidity's up, and the temperature is 25 or better, look out.
I mentioned it just before the break, this flooding that we're having, of course, in most cases for cottage owners and those of us who enjoy getting out early in the season, it's more of an inconvenience because the water levels being so high. In a lot of cases, docks are underwater, or some cases, docks have not been put in yet. We have to be careful of floating debris when you're boating. I mean, there's all of those obvious things. But, you know, something that we don't pay enough attention to when we have these conditions is what does it do to the wildlife, and in particular fish? And walleye spawning, which happens, you know, this time of year, has got to be, I would imagine, maybe, you know, some of the panfish family, maybe some crappie fishing guys will argue with this, but I think walleye spawning could be the most affected with this early flooding.
It's a good point, and I told you I was going to do some checking on this. Part of the reason is because everybody's crazy about walleye, including me. I like to fish walleye, and your best chance, when you look at the dates of the opening of the season related to the walleye spawn, are that your fish are post-spawn and probably at least a week post-spawn. And I'm not right. so sure that we're going to get that this year because everything was so late. So I spoke to Dr. Peter Colby. He's a former OMNR fisheries scientist. He's retired. He does some consulting work. And I said, what happens after massive flooding after the spring breakup? And he says there's not a lot of research on it, but there's so many variables. You know, the big flow can clear a spawning bed that was fouled by silt. It sends nutrients downstream, and this is fish food. The aquatic organisms start feeding on that stuff, and then that's what the fish will feed on in their early development. But the other side is if it delays the spawning cycle, because they do prefer that 48 to 50 degree Fahrenheit range, then the eggs hatch later, and a shorter growing season isn't great when they go into their first winter.
Yeah, and those are the ones that don't get washed out, right? Those are the eggs that actually have an opportunity, to hatch. I think the greatest damage has got to be from the eggs that just don't make it because they get moved downstream and you know, God knows what, buried in rocks and silt, like you just said before. And I wonder if there is any evidence that would show us in a year like we're having this year, for example, you know, what percentage of those eggs actually have an opportunity to complete its cycle? Because I think that's the real danger.
Well, as I said, Peter Colby said that there isn't a lot of research on it. And the interesting thing, as you said, they disperse and then there's, suckers that will feed on them and any number of other fish that will feed on them, and they follow spawning walleye. There's no question about that. And the problem is that for walleye, they are going to spawn in less than 4 feet of water. So if she spawns in 4 feet of water and then the water recedes, it can leave those eggs high and dry. And that was one of the factors that he said. But he was kind of comical when he said, it's out of our control. So don't worry about it. He says, they seem to figure it out. On May 14th, though, in the Thunder Bay area, and that's where he is, the females were just arriving. So the spawn is later there than would be normal. And those fish will be there for, as he put it, 7 to 10 days from the first to the end, normally. And then they will spawn and move on.
Yeah, I wonder, though, about the attitude of it's out of our control, because I'll tell you what, if what we're experiencing now is going to be the norm down the road, it could have devastating effects on our wild fisheries for sure. And we, at that point, will have to take a different approach and say, yeah, we need to do this in order to curb this. Because if it is a byproduct of our new changing environment, then, there's going to have to be some stuff done. I think, anyways, you can't just leave it up to Mother Nature to fix herself in this case, I don't think.
Well, it is interesting because there's some research going on at the University of Guelph about this, especially related to lake trout. And they feed on herring. And so typically that relationship is a little bit closer to the shore and not as deep a water as what they're finding now. In other words, those herring are searching for more cold water, which is pulling the lake trout deeper. And the long and short of this is there's some concern that it's not going to play well for lake trout over the long haul.
Yeah, I think they're probably the first ones to be affected by this for sure. No question about it.
Anyway, we're going to be searching for post-spawn walleye up on the Spanish River system in about a week's time. So we'll be able to tell you a little bit more about a group of incompetent fishermen that are searching for post-spawn walleye.
And let me tell you, if you hit them right at post-spawn, like I'm talking, days, good luck. There's a period about, could be up to 10 days, a week to 10-day period where walleye that are immediate post-spawn are next to impossible to catch. So I mean that. Good luck.
Yeah, well, that's been our life for the last 20 years, so we're okay with that.
All right, Johnny, what's happening on the weekend?
Well, Not too much. I've got some work to do around the house because I'm taking off for 4 or 5 days fishing, and then check all the baits and get ready to go.
All right, my friend. Best of luck. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. Take care.
JW, John Witters, a former park superintendent in Algonquin Park and now the producer of Outdoor Journal Radio. I haven't decided yet whether that was a step up or a step down. I never did ask him.
I'm wondering
how he felt about that. Oh, well.